Page Reish Lamed Hei, Vayam Dar Kecha, Tshuva. All the Avoida, the Yom Neroim, and the Sukkot, and Simchas Torah, these Shabbos is put down from that the V'taher Libeinu, La'av Duch HaBemes, the Libeinu is the Oisiyas, Lach Lecha Bereishis, Noach, and Vayeru. La'av Duch HaBemes, V'taher Libeinu, and each of the parashis has to do with a different one of the Yom Tov. I'm not going to go into right now, but Rosh Hashanah is gracious, the Tahara of the Mavul is Yom Kippur, and Lech Lecha is leaving the house, Avraham leaving his home, he's going to the Sukkah, and Vayera is the parashah of the Akedah, of Sar Yimein. All these parashis are parashis Hashem is Baruch is saying to us that all that you were davening for, It's time to put into practice. V'tahar Libeinu, La'av Duch HaBemes. So that's what we're learning about. Talking about Chassidish Charata, Bechiya and Charata. We were actually up to footnote Tav Zayin we didn't do yet. On page Reish Lamed Hei, Tav Zayin. The Mechab is explaining the difficulty that people have when it comes to Kabbalah, a Kabbalah va'osid, accepting upon oneself, knowing that the tikkun is something which he doesn't feel capable of at the present time in his life. That's what we were talking about. So just to end that, on Tav Zayin, Marshal is a bein shehich mitzvach marlitzlan. A marshal is the son that went off the way of Yiddishkeit, went away from Yiddishkeit. V'shina levusha, and he changed his way of dressing, v'darkon, his way of life, his rachek, v'beis aviv. And he went far away from his father's home. Hine kashuhu chayzer, when that son comes back, etzem zesha chayzer lios etzel aviv, zeh tshuva. The tshuva is returning home. That's the tshuva. That's the whole yisod of what we're learning in this maimer. That's what tshuva means. Tshuva means returning home. Mizah ikka. That's the ikka. Your home. That doesn't mean that now that the kid is... Thank you, Jim. Sorry. That doesn't mean that now that the kid is home, that all of the issues of the past have disappeared. I mean, there are reasons why he left. And there are reasons why he changed his way of life. And presumably, not all of that has been resolved. It's not like he happened to meet up with the best therapist and the best Rebbe, and now everything is gewaldic, and he's coming home, and everything is perfect. It's not perfect, and there's still plenty of problems. But the ikkar is that he came home. Can you imagine the kid knocks on the door? No, it's his house. He walks into the house, and the first thing his father says to him is, yeah, but how come you're not wearing that hat? How come you only wear a yarmulke? Well, you're not wearing a yarmulke. The kid will just turn around and disappear. But it would be clear to the kid that by my father the ikkar is not that I'm home. The ikkar is not who I am. It's my behavior. It's not who I am. It's not me. It's what I do or what I don't do. So he's not going to stay. So. There's no question that this kid, when he comes home, there are things in his life that he hasn't corrected or resumed, or and he might not ever, but the things that he needs to do, that it should stim with the house that he's living in. That takes time, according to his own pace. The ikkar is that he wants to be home, that he's come home and he wants to be there. That's why the most important thing is that, I mean, obviously every situation is different, and I'm not going into it now, but the most important thing is, regardless of what's going on with that child, that the parent does whatever he or she can do, the parents do whatever they can do to make sure that the child stays home. and that the child for some reason couldn't, so then that he feels that he has a place to come back home. That's the ikkar. That's the main thing. So how does bechiya, bechiya and charata, crying and regret and remorse, fit into all of this? So let's look at Reish Lam Hei Oz Dalet on top. Vav shetzar charata, one of the parts of tshuva is regret, is charata. Vav filu yogam, yogam means even anguish over the past. Ukumay shekosev Rabbeinu Yonah, as Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva, Mikomakom ein ze mohus ha-tshuva. Mikomakom ein ze mohus ha-tshuva. He says that's not the essence of what tshuva is, the crying, the regret. Elish is a derech ha-tshuva b'poil. It's one of the mahalchim of tshuva. It's one of the ingredients of tshuva b'poil in practice. That there needs to be some regret and some deep regret over what's happened in the past. Like the son that's coming back to his father, when the son is asking for forgiveness for what he's done. It certainly has to be sincere. If he doesn't feel any charata, if he doesn't feel any regret, then it's not sincere. So that's what this means. It means that the ikur is coming back, and he sincerely regrets causing his father that tsar. Because only if there's some tsar, if there's regret, does that show that he understands that this was something that was wrong. That he understands that he made a mistake, that he did something that he shouldn't have done. So when a person who is healthy does something that was wrong, that was a mistake that he shouldn't have done, he regrets it. So, but he definitely wants to return to his father. And that does not fit comfortably into the marshal of many of the kids nowadays that are going off, because they don't truly understand what is it that they're doing that's wrong. So that's already a whole other conversation. Many of them don't see that. It's not like I can't believe that I was Michal Shabbos. I can't believe that I wasn't learning, I can't believe I wasn't davening. It's a different hergish that the person has. But in a situation where a person did something that he understands is wrong, then naturally it comes with a regret. And a person should feel that regret. Because that indicates, that demonstrates that the Ba'amis, he understands what was wrong. But as we've spoken about many times over the years, Tanya and Aris HaTshuva and the Svam HaKadoshim, we'll talk about this. That it's only for a certain time. It's not that the person should walk around crying and walk around miserable over the past. It's only a set specific time. Ava Klolos HaTshuva, there's a certain time to take to think about the mistake and to feel that regret, and that's it. Ava Klolos HaTshuva, but the klolus of tshuva, the overall picture of tshuva, the mahus of tshuva, the world of tshuva, is simcha atzuma. It's gevaldige simcha. Simcha atzuma. Lachzer al Hashem Yisbarach, returning to Hashem. Now, over the years, our picture has become reversed. That most people, when they think of tshuva, the overall picture is misery, regret, sadness, and so on. And maybe there's some nakuda there of happiness of being able to come back. It's altogether the opposite of how it should be. But the ikkar, the emes is that the ikkar of tshuva is simcha, tremendous simcha. That's why the Yimei HaTshuva conclude with Sukkos, with Zman Simchaseinu. Zman Simchaseinu Everybody's asking, why is it that Sukkot? I mean, the Torah, everybody asks, why is Sukkot taking place in the fall? Sukkot should be by Pesach. So Zman Simcha Seva can only be after Tshuva. Because there's no bigger Simcha in the world than coming home. That's the Simcha. So it has to be connected to Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Sukkot. It can be Zman Simcha Seva separated from Zman Tshuva Seva. Zman Shuva saying. Because there's no greater joy than coming back, than coming home. But this became, in the minds of many people, this is a v'nahafaychu. The ikar tshuva is the sadness and the darkness, the gloominess, the misery. And that's why people, one of the main reasons that people dread Yom Elul and Yom Nirayim, and one of the reasons why everybody seems to be in a good mood nowadays, because, you know, they know that Yom Kippur is far away. That's just the opposite. Simcha Tzuma. Tremendous Simcha. Lachzer al Hashem Yisbarach, to return to Hashem. Ulahaschil lich yasimo, and to start to live with Hashem, to live a life with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She'ein mesikus v'simcha yaisa mikach. There's nothing sweeter and happier than that. She'an neshama Shava l'schavi im makor chiyusa, that the neshama is returning to the makor, to the source of its life, of its existence. That's the biggest simcha. V'afilu ha-bechiyah, and even the crying, the bechiyah. I remember when we moved back. We lived in Arizona. We moved back to America, and I was in yeshiva, so I wanted. I was in yeshiva and I wanted my father to daven. I used to daven with him in the shul. We davened. I wanted my father to daven. I wanted to daven in the yeshiva. That was the thing then, to daven in yeshiva. And Rosh Hashanah. So my father said, okay, well, come with me to the yeshiva. He never saw that. So we went to a certain place and we davened in the yeshiva. And the people were howling and crying. And my father said, I'm going to Mishra again. And I remember he said, the second day, he said, there's nothing doing. I'm like, what is this over here? Is it a Tisha B'Av, a cemetery? Somebody's crying. He'd never heard such a thing in his life. And Rosh Hashanah, the Bechiyas, carrying on. Even Yom Kippur, where they came from, it wasn't like that, the whole thing. What's everybody so upset about? It should be B'Simcha. Rosh Hashanah, it's Gevaldig B'Simcha. It was, you know, I told you once there was a mice with the Chayzim Lublin, that there was a tumult because it was Rosh Hashanah, and the Chassidim were doing a rikud after davening, Rosh Hashanah night, and there was, for some reason, there was a misnagid that ended up being in the shul. His misfortune that he ended up being in the shul by the Chayzim Lublin in Rosh Hashanah, but he's doing a rikud, and this misnagid couldn't believe it. He went over after davening to the Chayzah, or not after, during davening, when they were dancing, he went over to the Chayzah, And he said, "My high, Rosh Hashanah, l'simcha mazu oisa. What is a party that they're dancing here?" And the chayza told him to come close. And the chayza put his hand over this misnagid's eyes, and the misnagid saw that the malach hamavus was standing next to him, and that there were malachim that were dancing. Leibedeke, Felech Malachim, they were dancing with the Chassidim, there was the Malachim Abbas was standing next to him. So the Chayzah took his hand off, and the guy ran into the dance. He ran over to the Chassidim to dance. To come back to your father. That's what happened somehow over the years. The Avinu Malkeinu left out the Avinu, I think. That's what happened. It became just Malkeinu. Not even Malkeinu. Just HaMelech. Malkeinu is already Halbitzar, because Malkeinu is saying at least our king. At least there's something personal. There's some connection. But there's no Avinu. There's no Malkeinu. It's just HaMelech. Without the clapping. Just HaMelech. By the way, if any of you are clappers, you know, it's a very sweet thing that they picked up in Uman. But you shouldn't do that until after the Baal Tefillah says the Bracha. Because what was happening is that he's going Hamel. He's, you know, the Baal Tefillah is going Hamel, and he didn't say Hakadosh, and the chevra was all clapping, so you can't hear the bracha. That's why the second day of Rosh Hashanah, I said no, like give him a chance to finish. So that you have to make sure they say the bracha. But that's the inyan of the simcha, of clapping. It's coming back to you, coming back home, we're excited. It's a good thing. But just wait till the bracha is finished. Va'afilu ha'b'chir. And even the crying itself. Va'afilu ha'b'chir. Even the crying itself. So even, of course, there's an Indian that's brought down from Arizal, that the person doesn't shed one tear during these days, that there's something missing in his shuva. So there, of course, there's some b'chir. But afilo ha'b'chir, tzvich elios mitoch simcha pnimis. Even the b'chir should come from simcha pnimis. B'shimcha yagilun kol hayom, one of the psukim that we say, B'shimcha yagilun kol hayom is the Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Nachman says, b'chir. B'shimcha yagilun, in your name we rejoice all day long. B'shimcha yagilun kol hayom. Is the Rosh Hashanah b'chir. B'chir. That the b'chir, the crying itself, comes from simcha. Simcha pnimis. Ki b'chi marisha hadov nogelo ad hanefesh. Because crying, sincere crying, not somebody who's trying to get it going, but sincere crying shows that this is something that's nagelo ad hanefesh. It's something that it reaches a very deep part of him. And he can't contain himself and he cries. Ad oimek pnimiusa. That doesn't mean that the sadness, the depression, or the despair have reached the deepest part of him. That's not why he's crying. He's the crying is because of being able to be home. Now, in that crying, of course, in the tears, it's mixed in with the feelings of I was away too long and what did I do and I shouldn't have. But the ikur is what touches the person. Ad hanefesh is coming back. Fu be'emes mitztara ma shahaya. The sherish of that hargosha, the root of that hargosha, is davka mitoch the simcha of returning. Mitoch ha-simcha shalach hazar. Mitoch ha-kara amuka ba-mitosha shal ha-malach ha-batuvo. And it comes with a very deep feeling. The person is moved to tears, that despite everything that's happened in the past, the king is excited to have him back, and is welcoming him back, and is thrilled to have him home. V'ahatzvus hi klipa mamish. And as we've learned so many times, atzvus is a terrible klipa, sadness is a terrible klipa. As Rabbi Chaim Vital writes, the Sefer Shari Kedusha, since atzvus is a very thick and horrible klipa of impurity, it can't be that atzvus is tshuva. We've spoken about this a great deal. Not atzvus is tshuva, but a certain kind of a merirus, a tzebrochenkeit, not sadness or not depression. But here's where the Yetzirah is very, very effective. When the Yetzirah sees that this person wants to come home, he wants to come back to Hashem and he wants to serve Hashem. The Yetzirah brings about this shibush, this mistake, this confusion. That he now has to walk around bent over, sad, with a heaviness, that atmosphere that my father felt in that place that we went to Davin, with that heaviness and that depression, that terrible, terrible darkness. And the Yetzirah says that if you're really, really doing tshuva, that's how you should be walking around. You shouldn't be dancing. You shouldn't be besimcha. Ubezah Yetzer Rotzel Harviach Kofel. And with this, the Yetzer wants to make a double profit. Gam Shekach Adam Lo Yetzlich Bavadaso. Number one, since a person naturally can't bear being depressed, sad, and miserable, so this kind of behavior doesn't usually add up to much of a change in life. It's just when the sad day disappears, then he goes back to his old behavior and leaves. He just returns to whatever was. So that's the first thing that the Yetzer gains. That it's not going to work. That this is not going to add up to anything. The same way that people prefer feeling that there's a distance from Yom Kippur, they prefer feeling that there's a distance from all of the consequences of Yom Kippur and all of the expectations of Yom Kippur. They much prefer the expectations of Purim and Hanukkah. And they look forward to Hanukkah and Purim. They don't look forward to... So when there's something that you are sad about, something that makes you feel a heaviness and a gloom, then the tef of a person is to become as disassociated as you can from that whole matzav, not to be part of that matzav. You don't want to be in that matzav. So since we're talking about very, very depressing and dark associations that people have with tshuva and with the Yemei tshuva, so then the likelihood of this turning into real tshuva is very little. It's very small. The chances of this becoming a real tshuva. It does sometimes, but it's unlikely. So the Yetzer is thrilled about that he was able to get this guy into the atzvus, into the I'm not dancing, mode, into the atzvus place. But oh, shebehemshech kvar lo yitzel hikanes lazeh. And not only that, he's becomes less and less interested bechlal in even trying, even going into any of this, because over time it's just again, a healthy person, a normal healthy person naturally recoils from depression and sadness. Sometimes I've spoken about this, but that somebody, when you're with somebody who's not a happy person, they talk about things that you just don't want to be with the person, You don't want to be with that person. It's not because he's not a good person. It's just the type of, you don't want to be with somebody like that. The guy, the second you talk to him, he starts to tell you, this guy did this, and this guy had that, and this one dropped dead, and the other one is going to drop dead, and did you hear what's going on with COVID in Wisconsin? And did you, it's like, during that whole COVID time, those guys, mamas, came out of the woodwork. The malchus of sadness, you remember? It's just a short time ago, but it was like, and a lot of it, you could tell a lot of it, not with people who were sick, but with people that were going on and on and on. Didn't have to do with anything with science or with COVID. It was the non-dancing section of the world. That's what it was, with all kinds of exaggerated fears and depression and sadness and pessimism. Just nobody wants to, it's not fun. People naturally don't want to be in that in the sviva of that. You don't want to be with in the sviva of people like that. So not only is it unlikely that this person will over time want to come back to get beaten up again by Yom Kippur and to take it seriously, he's also not going to be very inspiring to other people. So you take a 14-year-old kid and you put him into some place and they're howling and crying on Rosh Hashanah. He might become a howler. He might become one of the elite criers and screamers and howlers. But the likelihood is that the reaction will be, this is not for me. I got to get away from this stuff. And we don't want anybody to go away from Yiddishkeit. We don't want anybody to go away from tshuva. But people don't want to have those associations with There are some people that they're always saying Kaddish. You know people like that? You ever meet a Jew like that? I mean, you ask them, my high. So either it's a sister-in-law, a brother-in-law, or a grandfather, no one's saying Kaddish for, or a great-grandfather, no one's saying Kaddish for, or for the 6 million who died, he's saying Kaddish for, or he's saying Kaddish because somebody asked him to say Kaddish. But there are certain Jews in the world that they're just always saying Kaddish. It's like something wrong. It could be he's just an unbelievable tzaddik, but there's a reason why other people come around to ask him to say Kaddish, because they know that he's a Kaddish Zogar. He says Kaddish. He's a professional Kaddish, like he works for the Chevra Kaddisha or something. So growing up in every shul, there was always a guy, no matter what it was, every single time, there he is. He's Kaddish Shmei Rav. What happened to you today? But he can't live without saying Kaddish. Like he enjoys Kaddish. Enjoys Kaddish. Something that's not healthy. And people don't feel comfortable with that. Because people want to be besimcha, and a healthy, normal person wants to be besimcha. You prefer being with Jews that sing as opposed to Jews who are saying Kaddish. Well, you know, you hear that some people say Kaddish. You know, it's just, even what Kaddish itself is a gewaldige simcha to say Kaddish. And even though, of course, we associate Kaddish very sad things in life, nevertheless, Kaddish itself is gewaldig. But they have a way of doing that also, making Kaddish, and he's Kaddish. You've heard that before, right? And that's like Kaddish Rabbanim. It's not even a Yosem. Like also like it's a dirge, you know, like a lead CEO. And you have to stand there and shul the guy is 3, 4, 5, 6 times Tisha B'Av, Nachamol. He's hitting me with Tisha B'Av. It's just a regular nice day. I'm happy. The sun is out. And this guy is, Yolmach Tivrach Yerushalayim. Oh, yeah. Some people are inspired by that. I'm not. So I'm sorry. I don't mean to insult anybody. I know that some people like that. I will tshuva la'amita. But real tshuva, aber tshuva l'amitahi, knisa l'beis hamelech. Real tshuva means going back into the king's, you're his son, and you're going into your father's house. And he's the king, and you're going home. L'dveikis p'nimis m'Hashem isbarach. You're returning to a place of dveikis with Hashem. A real dveikis with Hashem. V'yirak simcha v'or v'oishal adam. That's all about sunshine and warmth and happiness. That's what it is. Simcha v'or v'ayish l'adam. Ki ma yoyse toiv. Mili yoschovik v'dovik b'avinisha b'shamayim. What's better than being chovik v'dovik, than hugging and being dovik to avinisha b'shamayim? Malchus shalom. Takadosh Baruch Hu. Look at tough test. And if a person's mahalach of tshuva is this, the one that we're learning, she'ikra avodaso amateraso hi leschaber l'Hashem isbarach, that the ikra avoda and the goal, the objective is leschaber l'Hashem isbarach, to become connected, to become attached to Hashem. And to return to Hashem with the whole heart, lichyosima, to live with Him, azai hakabbalas atoyves. Then, the kabbalas that the good kabbalas, the good resolutions that he made that the coming year should be better, to do good, to do better things, or to stay away from things that are not good. I say, Kabbalas Atovas, Shemakabal Alatzmo, and Bitu Leratzon Libo, Lishtakokusa. All of those Kabbalas are an expression, they're all an expression of the Ratzon of his heart, of going, of returning home. And they're all part of that Hishtakokus, that longing. Therefore, you know, to get closer and closer to Hashem. And that's something which is positive, which is optimistic. That's something which should fill a person with happiness. So therefore, the chances of those Kabbalas being kept are much greater. The Kabbalas that come in a state of depression, despair, darkness, and gloom are much less likely to last. The Kabbalas that take place, mitoich simcha, and that feeling of, I'm getting closer, this is great, those Kabbalas are much, much, much more likely to remain. It's not complicated. One of the hardest mitzvahs in the world, if a person thinks about it, is bris milah. Especially if a person is already, wasn't given a bris when he was younger and he has to do it himself. But Avraham Avinu. And dafka regarding bris milah, and even for a parent with a kid, and regarding bris milah, what's the simcha? So Chazal say that kol mitzvah shekibla elam b'simcha, dayan mekaymas b'simcha. Any mitzvah that we were makabel b'simcha, we still keep that mitzvah b'simcha. We still keep that mitzvah. The mitzvah, it lasts. It made it through the centuries, the generations, that even, I mean, you have some people that are made for the bris, but even Jews that are far, far, far from any shaykhs to Torah mitzvahs, they still want their kid to have bris milah. Because somehow that inyan of entering into the bris, which means returning to my father or being with my father, that covenant, that bris, that it has that avira of simcha. Somehow it has that. It was to begin with an inyan of simcha. And adayin mekaymai simcha, and it was still mekaymai, because if something began with joy, and if something is itself felt to be joyous, then the nature of people is that they keep up with it. So even Jews that don't keep up, haven't over the centuries have stopped keeping up with the mitzvahs, nevertheless they keep up with bris milah. It's an interesting thing, because it's dafka hard mitzvah, it's an inyan of mesiras nefesh, but people keep up with it. When something begins b'simcha, then the likelihood of it continuing on is much greater than when something begins out of just despair or this feeling of what choice do I have? I have no choice. If you do it because you feel that you have no choice, because otherwise you're in trouble, so then the second you feel clear of that scary time or place, you don't keep the Kabbalah. Because now it's not scary anymore. It's cheshvan. Nothing scary about cheshvan. So it's not scary anymore. So the Kabbalah that you said, you had this Kabbalah that you're always going to do this, you're always going to know you're not going to do this. That. So you're not scared anymore. You're not in that matzav of being afraid and being nervous. So then once you're relieved of that scary, nervous atmosphere, then the Kabbalah's gone. That's what happens very often. You don't keep it. But when something was mitach simcha, then it's natural that when something is mitach simcha, you remember it, you want to connect to it, you want to continue with it. It's just a normal thing that a person should be like. It's normal that a person should be like that. This is good. This is right. I'm happy about this. This causes me to feel good. And when it's associated with something that's positive, and optimistic, and happy, and good, so the nature of a person is that those are things in life that adayim mekayim b'simcha, that you keep up with, that you stay with. But if the associations are depressing and negative, then the nature of a person is to run away. So, what are the chances of a person's Kabbalahs continuing on in the year when the Kabbalah began, mitoich atzvus, mitoich misery and choshech and so on, very little. But when the Kabbalah comes with the simcha, so the chances of it continuing on are much, much greater. But it means with real simcha, the chances are much greater of that being able to continue on. Vav. Vihine, kishodim zoichu misera by harotzen leskaiver l'Hashem Yisburach. Oh, I'm sorry, the bottom of the page, I didn't do the bottom, the last line of Tav Tes. It continues on that note. So before going to Vav, let's just finish. It goes on to the next slide too. Ki zem ma she'Hashem Yisburach mevakesh meha'adam. All the way to the bottom. Because really this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from a person. It says in the Mishnah. It says, Tana b'ni libcha li. Tana b'ni libcha li. My son, I want your heart. I want you to give me your heart. Ki zem ma she'Hashem Yisburach mevakesh meha'adam leiv dovek v'ohev. It's what every parent hopes for from a child. Mishtakikus lasus v'tzayin habarei. Filled a heart that's filled with a longing to stay connected, to be connected, to do the right thing. In maisim b'pol, to behave in the right way. Uksha'odam poil kach. If a person shuv is in this way, he'll be matzliach to move forward and to go higher. V'yaslich bekabbalah shekibal, and even matzliach with the kabbalas there's makabel. Ki uhalach b'derech hatshuva amitis. Because this is the true path of tshuva. Now, you're on the road. This is the road of tshuva. This is the path of tshuva. The path of tshuva is a path of simcha, of dveikus, of ahava. That's the path of tshuva. And you're on that path. And that path leads you closer and closer to Hashem and higher and higher. That's the path of tshuva. Ubemes ha-kabolas ha-rishaynes, tshvichas liyas binyin zeh. And that's really, you know, the kind of kabbalas that a person should make. Obviously, we all have a lot of things that we need to fix, but and improve. But the bemes the kabbalas of Rishos Tzichas Leos Benin Hazeh, the kabbal al atzmo in yonim shikavu osalei shemzbo, to be makabel upon oneself in yonim those things that bring him closer to Hashem Yisbo. That the kabbalas should be things that bring you closer to Hashem Yisbo. Things that are going to be mechazik to kesher with Hashem. So for some person, you know, for a person to come out from the Yom Tov of the Kabbalah that I'm going to observe the fast days of Bahab, or I'm going to keep Yom Kippur, you know, Yom Kippur cotton. Again, for some people that might be a very, very effective thing. But for most people, that's the type of a Kabbalah that for that person at that point in his life, it's unlikely that it's going to strengthen his kesher with Hashem. What are the kabbalas that we're making on Yom Kippur? And are these kabbalas that are really going to strengthen my kesher with Hashem? Or maybe these are just kabbalas because I want to look like other people that are from, or I want to live up to other people's expectations of how I'm supposed to be from. Or am I taking upon myself kabbalas that I feel that seem to me, not because I heard in some speech, but I feel will bring me closer to Hashem. I sincerely feel will bring me closer to Hashem. Again, because then the closer you get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more the other things, including Bahava, that's good for you, whatever, the other things will begin to fall into place. But the Iker is to mechazik the kesher Hashem Yisburach. Vaz yizkel l'tshuva amitis. And if you take upon yourself things, kabbalas, that are strengthening the relationship, so then the other things will work out over time. Not right away, but over time the tshuva becomes a tshuva amitis, and things begin to improve and begin to change. the kinyan la'aruch zman, because there's a kinyan la'aruch zman that lasts a long time. He kol magamos, so he rakles karv l'Hashem Yisbarach, because the entire objective of this person is to get closer to Hashem, which is what Shuvah is all about, to return to Hashem. So the closer you get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the less intimidating the other things in your life that you haven't started to do, the less intimidating they are. If a person feels very, 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 very far from Hashem, then he doesn't feel like going to Davin and the Minyan. He doesn't feel like doing those things. But the closer a person is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then the other things are much more likely to fall into place. That's why so many times when people come to talk to me about this Indian that they're messing up, or that they're not good at, this they're not. So I would say 9 out of 10 times what I talk to them about is his bodhidus. That's really 9 out of 10 times I talk about his bodhidus. Because his bodhidus is about, for the first time in your life, developing a relationship with Hashem, a real personal and deep relationship with Hashem. And if you have that, and you talk to Hashem about all these different things, and you conduct a real hisbardus, and you become a person of it that's misbaydei, then it's mimela over time. Then davening becomes better, and Shabbos. It's just, that's a natural thing, that when you're close to someone, you're happy doing, you know, those kind of things. You just feel good about them. You just feel good about them. But if you're very, very, very far, if you have no keshe with Hashem, and you take upon yourself these kabbalas that you heard, like, you know, whatever, this is important, and I got to do this, and you make some big kabbalah, and you know, I'm gonna finish shas, you know, this year, and so on. It's a very, very noble, wonderful thing. But if you don't have a keshe with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and your learning is comes with a feeling of emptiness, and you don't, it doesn't bring you to a place of simcha and dveikus b'Hashem, so then it's very unlikely that that's going to come out to anything. But his bardus, there the person is and davening his bardus, the person is developing a keshe with Hashem Yisbarach, and then mimeila. With that, and to talk about all different things by his brothers, I mean, mele, the person wants to behave differently. So that's the mahalach of tshuva. The mahalach of tshuva is a mahalach of dveikus b'Hashem, of returning to Hashem. Not that any of the other things are not important. Of course, they're all important. Every mitzvah, drabbanan deraisa, every aver, drabbanan deraisa, all of those we have to try to do our best to keep everything the right way. We're only talking about how to come back to these things, of how to return to them. And a clever, intelligent, and real strategy of coming back. And what he's explaining is that depression and darkness is bad strategy. Bad. I don't think we need to show any proofs for that. It's just bad strategy. It's not a good strategy. If God forbid someone's kid has left the house, and the father calls back in desperation and says, please, please, I'll do anything. I'll give you more chores to do in the house. Just come home. In the past, I only asked you to paint your room. I'm going to ask you to paint now the entire house. Just come home. In the past, I only yelled at you on Shabbos morning to come to me with shul. But if you come home, I promise I'll yell at you every morning to come with me to shul. There's a kid doing it. It's going to come home. But this is the message that a lot of the chevra get. Like, I was beaten up badly enough before. Like, what do I want to go back for more of that stuff? The ikkar is that we want you back home. And when you have a relationship and it's real and it's besimcha, so then the kid will pick up a paintbrush and start doing some work. That's how life is. even before getting fancy with the Yiddishkeit, just life. It's like that. He wants, he feels happy being in that place. And you feel part of that place and you want to fix it up. When you feel happy about the place you're in and about the life that you're in, you want to fix it up. When you feel unhappy and miserable about the life you're in, you don't want to fix it up. You just sink deeper and deeper and deeper, or you try to numb yourself with drugs or pornography or whatever. That's without the Mechus Chinuch, you understand? That's just how people are. That's life. And that's exactly what we're talking about. That's the Mahalach, that's the pathway of truth. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll continue with the Vav.